Who will stand up to evil? The sad truth is that most evil is done by people who never make up their minds to be good or evil. Hannah Arendt, and she was actually writing in response to some of the things that happened during the Nuremberg trials of the Nazis. And she was thinking specifically of a man by the name of Adolf Eichmann. Oh, Adolf Eichmann was one of the chief architects of the Holocaust, one of the, top three terrible disasters that was wrought upon the world in the last century. And what she found interesting about this guy is that he was not some sort of Machiavellian, cartoonish monster that she had imagined, but when she met him, she found a sincere, committed bureaucrat. A bureaucrat. Someone who was good at his job, believed in the Nazi cause, and just simply, ruthlessly, did his job and killed 7 million Jews. Who would stand up to evil? Some, but not nearly enough to make a difference in the German tragedy of World War II. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we pray that you would show us our nature, your nature, and how to stand in the evil day. Amen. Now Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard in Jezreel beside the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And after this, Ahab said to Naboth, "Give me your vineyard that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near to my house, and I will give you a better vineyard for it. Or if it seems good to you, I will give it its value in money." Now, there's a whole bunch of things going on with land transactions that we might not get right away. And the big one is that we're going to find out that this is not just this person's like vineyard, but this is his family inheritance that is given to him from the Lord that he's going to live on. And being so, if they're following the Levitical laws of the time, that Naboth can only sell this land until the year of the Jubilee. So he could sell it for, if it was 49 years till the Jubilee. Yet, there's a big loophole going on here, because this plot of land is right next to the edge of the city. Palace probably by the outside wall. And if Ahab buys the vineyard and then builds the wall of the city around the vineyard, then all the land ownership things don't apply and Ahab can keep the land forever. And Naboth is probably on to Ahab at this time. Now, anyways, the king now has the right to offer to buy this land. You could buy land. The government can't just seize the land, because they didn't live in a civilized time where the government can just steal the land it wants and call it eminent domain. Now, Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers." And Naboth here is playing kind of a dangerous game. Like you don't just say no to the king, especially a king who's been known to be somewhat ruthless and kill a lot of people. And yet Naboth here fears the Lord. He says, "The Lord gave this land to my ancestors, and I am not going to sell it to you." Then Ahab goes home, and Ahab is such a kind of ridiculously sad fellow with this whole story. And he goes home and he sulks. And this is so sad. And I know it's sad because when things don't go my way, sometimes I go home and I sulk. It's just as terrible. And as he sulks, Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said, "Why is your spirit so vexed that you eat no food?" And he said to her, "Because I spoke to Naboth, the Jezreelite, and I said to him, 'Give me your vineyard for money, or else, if it please you, I'll give you another vineyard for it.' And he answered, 'I will not give you my vineyard.'" Now, Ahab's a bad dude. We've learned that already. But thankfully, he's kind of incompetent, which limits the scope of his villainy. Unfortunately, his wife is not so incompetent. And Jezebel, his wife, said to him, "Do you not now govern Israel?" I love the ESV. It's probably not the best translation. It's probably more like, because the word is literally king. It's like, "Are you not king? Are you not king?" Now, it's kind of ironic here because she says, "Are you not king?" And as you read the story, it's like, who's wearing the crown here? Probably not Ahab. "Arise, eat bread, let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." Now, agreeing with your wife or agreeing with your husband is a good thing until it violates the command of the Lord. And here Ahab is too weak to do anything. Who would stand up to evil? Not Ahab. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. And she sent the letters to the elders and the leaders who lived with Naboth in his city. And as she writes all those letters, like you don't just write a letter in the ancient world. She's dictating this to the scribes which wrote these things in the ancient world. And as they write these things, and she says, "Oh yeah, sign it Ahab." And who's going to stand up? And any one of those attendants going to say, "You can't actually forge that. We actually have to go get your husband." No, nobody stands up to evil. They send the letter out. And she wrote in the letters, "Proclaim a fast and set Naboth at the head of the people." So this is how these things work. They have a fast, so they don't eat, or they don't eat during the day for like a week or so. And then at the end of the fast, they're going to have this big feast. They're all going to get together, everybody. They're going to kill the fatted calf, and they're all going to celebrate. And set Naboth at the head of the people. And this is so sly. It's like Naboth is going to think, his ship's finally come on. People, he's been working hard in his vineyard all day. Nobody's ever recognized him for his hard work, fearing the Lord. And finally now, they're like, "Oh yeah, look, this is a celebration." And like, "Naboth, is that from?" And we're like, "Going to have like a surprise party for you." "And set two worthless men opposite him. Let them bring a charge against him and saying, 'You have cursed God and the king.'" But by the way, in your Bibles, it might have a little footnote there and saying it literally says, "You have blessed God and the king." And it's because the people writing the Bible didn't want us to write "cursed God" in the Bible. So they write "blessed" instead. But everyone knows what this means. It's context determines meaning. "Bring a charge. You have cursed God and king. Then take him out and stone him to death." So she sends this letter out. She sends it to the leaders of the city. The leaders of the city, some of whom are farmers, leaders. They are friends with Naboth. They know who he is. They sat down to dinner with him. Who would stand up to evil? And the men of his city, the elders and the leaders who lived in his city, did as Jezebel had sent word to them. And so the most mature men of the land, who was sitting in the city, who administered justice in the gate, whom the little Israelite boys and girls looked up to. Were they going to stand up to the evil? Would one person say, no, this is not right? Nobody said a word. In fact, this is long after they've rooted out many of the prophets of the Lord. Many of these same elders probably already had some blood on their hands. They had already, you know, helped her get rid of some inconvenient person, someone they didn't like. But then pretty soon, hey, it's like the old stormtrooper deal, never stops with just a little bit. Pretty soon, they were going to have to kill one of their own. And now, the plot is set into motion. They're seated at the festival, at the feast. And the two worthless men came in and sat opposite him. And this is so sadistic in all of the details, because here they are having a feast. What do you think they're drinking at the feast? Like they're having wine. Where do you think the wine came from? They're probably drinking the very wine from Naboth's vineyard, having a party, having a good time. And the worthless men brought a charge against Naboth in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth cursed God and the king. So the truth, they have to have two witnesses. They stand up. And it notes that these are worthless men. And that's because as soon as they stand up, you know, people, either they don't recognize them or they do recognize them. And they're like, what are they doing here? And why were they invited to this party? And you have to think that there was not just one or two. There was a lot of people who like looked and saw, like they heard these people who had no credibility saying, Naboth, this righteous man, cursed God and the king. And this was before all the people. And did one person in that crowd stand up and say, this isn't right? Did one person call out and say, no, stop this. Like we have to talk about this a little bit. Like leaders, they shuffle uncomfortably. The leaders know what's going on. Maybe some of the people know what's going on, but they're all thinking, if I stick my neck out, I'm going to be the first to the guillotine. And so no one says anything. Who would stand up to evil? The crowd of the people, according to the ancient custom, they would all have to administer this justice. And so they would take Naboth out of the festival where he thought he was like a party for him, and all of a sudden it was for him, but not how he thought. And they drug him outside, and the first stones would be cast by the worthless men. But then all of the people who thought that they could merely be innocent bystanders would also have to take up a stone, cast it as well. How quickly do the hands get bloody of those who wish to stand apart in the day of evil? Who would stand up to evil? Who would stand up to evil? Even more, as soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, she wasn't at this thing, you know. This is how the people pulling the strings work. They get others to bloody their hands. Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. And now, as he goes to take this land, what single person looking at this sequence of events could not say, there is something very wrong here? It's like the person whose house burns down and they've already like sold all their furniture out of it. Like, who can doubt that some funny business, but is anyone going to say anything? Is anyone going to say anything? Now, here's the thing. Even when the whole crowd goes along with something, you know, even when the Supreme Court of the nation declares something to be such and such, there is still a higher court who would stand up to evil. Yes, there is one, for the word of the Lord came to Elijah back from his running. He goes to the vineyard and confronts the king and issues the judgment. Behold, I will bring disaster upon you. I will utterly burn you up and cut off from Ahab every male, bond or free in Israel and of Jezebel. The Lord also said, the dogs shall eat Jezebel within the walls of Jezreel. Ironically, Naboth was seated to eat and then devoured by the lying words of the dogs, the worthless men. And now, ironically, Jezebel would be eaten up herself. The thing about standing up to evil is that if we do so, we never do so alone. Because there's always one standing up to judge. And yet he is so much slower than we think he should be. Like where is God when Jezebel's sending the letter? Where is God when they're calling the festival? Where is God when they're throwing the stones at an innocent man? And yet, because God is slow to act does not mean he won't. And we can keep reading and see what happens to Jezebel. Now, something happens here that's going to be a big surprise. Because we've just seen this like total miscarriage of justice. And it's a surprise, and I think it's important to see, because when I read this story, you know, so much of the time I think of myself as like the hero of the story, but then dramatic moments come back to me. You know, when I was growing up, I thought about myself as someone who got bullied a lot, someone who was picked on. But at a certain point, God brought things to mind which changed my perspective, because we are very good at seeing the speck in our brother's eye and it's hard to see the plank in our own. And it brought back the name of Jason. Jason was a guy I went to elementary school with. I still remember him in seventh grade. He had those like really thick Coke bottle glasses. You know, the ones that made your eyes look like giant eyes, and it was kind of hard to see. He was kind of a nerdy guy, kind of a quiet guy. And on the schoolyard, you know, I felt like I was down here. And yet, when people were talking, when people were like, four eyes, that's a dumb insult, but all of it. But anyways, and they're like mocking this guy. They're like taking his glasses. You know who didn't say anything? You know who said, hey, bug eyes? You know who said that? That was me. It was me being the bully. It was me being evil. And the really dramatic thing is that when you look at life, is that you can imagine the big evils, you can imagine the Jezebels. But the fact that God did not bring justice immediately was grace and time for repentance. Jason, like, he had like 15 years, and like, God gave grace for time. Because God has a strange kind of mercy, and we can see here. And when Ahab heard these words of judgment, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth on his flesh, fasted and lay in sackcloth, and went about dejectedly. And from the outside, it kind of looks like the first time when Naboth wouldn't sell his vineyard, and he was like sad and moping around. But instead of this time, instead of moping to his wife, he actually mopes to God and says, "Oh Lord, I have done wrong." And we know that it's sincere because the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite saying, "Have you seen how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the disaster in his days, but in the day, his son's days, I will bring the disaster upon his house." God is gracious to him. And the first thing we should do, we see, like stand up to evil, we can all say that we have not stood up to evil as we ought to have. And in all of the ways that we haven't stood up to evil in our own heart, in whatever evil that we've done, from our lustful thoughts of our mind to participating in wicked governments or whatever that we have done, is an evil that is an affront to the Lord. And yet he does not bring judgment right away, because those who repent and believe, he forgives in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you can call it, "Lord Jesus, I believe," and he is just insanely merciful. Like, "God, why are you showing mercy to Ahab? Ahab's the bad guy of this story." And yet he does, because I have been Ahab. I have been Ahab. It was Ahab in that seventh grade room. And for everybody who's been Ahab, it means that there is mercy there for you. There's mercy there for you when you have done evil. And Jesus sets us on that path. You know, he doesn't call us just the same walk, but he also calls us to stand up. And so there may come a time when you're called to be Elijah. And on that day, when the whole world is swimming one way, you're going to be called to stand and say, "No, this isn't right. No, this isn't right." Who will stand up to evil? Will you stand up when speaking the truth has real costs? Your job, business, friends, who will stand? And there's only one way to stand, and that's like Naboth, to fear the Lord more than you fear the world. And on that day, even when the sword is on your neck, if you fear the Lord most of all, you would rather taste the cold steel in your throat than taste the lie in your throat. In that day, you would rather deny yourself freedom than to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. You would rather stand and die rather than sit while evil reigns. Will you stand? Will you stand? Let's pray. Lord God, I pray, first of all, that each one of us would find forgiveness for all of the times that we haven't stood. That we've stood by in the evil day, watched it happen, participated in ourselves, our own hands throwing the stones, verbal barbs, or whatever. I thank you that we can find forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray for any heart here that is burdened by a load of sin, they would say, "Yes, I have been Ahab too. Lord, forgive me." And I pray for each one of us that whatever evil days may come, that you would give us the strength to stand. For we can only stand in the fear of the Lord. We can only fall apart from it. Lead us, Lord Jesus, in your name.